the I think we're holding Vama Bemedrish Hazek Nikuna Chosim Shenichsim is Zevenigum. Is that where we're holding?
But Amma Gamke Bemedrish Breshid Rosh Amar Shenikru Zuze. That one I thought, yeah.
Ah, we're holding by Zuze.
Hold on. No, Chosim, sorry, you're right.
I think only, okay.
Yeah,
sorry, I don't have a mark here, but I'm pretty sure. Okay.
Yeah.
So he's a middle, and as usual, what he does is he takes a medrash, a long medrash, and he started by making one point out of it, but he continues to explain the entire medrash. So the medrash continues, he doesn't quote it actually. I'll read it first from Medrash Rabbah. It says, L'kach nikra shmam nechasim, the reason why wealth is called nechasim, shenichsim izeh v'niglam izeh. They are covered for one person and open for the other person. Why is it called zuzin? Shezuzin mizeh v'nitan lazeh. It moves from one to the other. Mamin. Why is it called mamin? So he says, Ma'ata moine eina klum. The word ma'ata moine means kind of, why are you making a big deal of yourself? The word moine, I guess, would be like to be memana, somebody chashev. Ma'ata moine eina klum. Mos malais. Okay. So the Chazal say three different drushes about the word mamin. By the way, what's fascinating about this Chazal is that two of the three words are not psukim, and the word nechasim does appear a little bit in Tanakh, but mamin and zuz are Mishnah Gemara words. They are not psukim words, and yet Chazal found it possible to darshan. And you find that here and there, Chazal do darshan things that, the words that people commonly use. I'm not sure if the pshat it is, it's because people picked up these words intuitively, even though they really weren't thinking about that. I don't think they seriously meant that that's the etymology of the word. But I think they meant that there's a certain emes in those words, and that's what the word, and that's what it is. So it says, nechasim is nechasim izeh v'nin izeh. They are covered for one and open to the other. Ubiyazek mashemarnu ki ein ha'oshek ma'chachma gvura shem le'etzim ha'adam. As opposed to chachma gvura, which are sort of integrated in a person, ki ha'chachma l'adam atzim chen ha'gvura, lekach elosh te milas in a krovim alasilik vasar, and that's why these two milas, chachma and gevura, are not as easily lost as osher. Avol ha'osher korev alasilik vasara, at shu nechshav kimoi ha'adam, shu soge eino v'nichse v'nevar osher mena v'nigalache. It's like a person would close his eyes, open it up again, and he would find that his ashirs disappeared. Lekach nikra nechaser shnichse mezadin ezer kokach b'mehirus. Okay, Silak says in the Pasuk, Altiga lehashe, don't over try to become Asher, like we learned last time. Mibinoscha chadal, don't rely on your seichel. Hateif enecha boy veneno. You blink your eyes and it's gone. Kiyasel knafayim kanesha, yofa shemayim. It'll all of a sudden sprout wings like an eagle and fly off. Opirse, kmo shemarno. Kel yiga lehashe, she'enim Hashem esprocha oishe zerak mikocho. A person shouldn't try to get the osher that's not destined to be his, that's not coming from Hashem Baruch Hu, but rather something that he's forcing. V'osher k'moizeh hat'eif k'loima kol kach b'mehirus, kasha eino ma'oifim v'osher v'oivim eino mitzad lezeh tzad zeh v'einoi, in a blink of an eye it's gone, g'asa k'fayin lachs me'emina b'mehirus y'yaseh. V'chol zeh mitam shamanu, because osher is something that's not mischabed to a person, and therefore it's oiv b'kalos. So the first pshat that he has in this, and the idea of why it's gone so quickly, is because since it's not inherently part of the person's metzias, therefore it is it doesn't have real staying power. This pshat is like we said last time. Then he's going to add another pshat. Ve'oydash chaladas ki ha'oyshe shu birgas Hashem yisbarach roye sheyasomu min ha'ayin. Ulekach ha'oyshe mesugul שנכסה בזמן היועסה קוצר, וזה כאשר אי באינו מצד זה לצד זה, וכאשר עובר מנה אינו מיד האוי שאיננו. כי בבד היבועיד אינו בו דשייך לא מבינינו, אבל כאשר אינו ואיבר מצד זה לצד זה ממוק וסורק אינו כבר איננו. וכל זה למרום אוליין, כי רואה שיסום ממנה עין ורואה לו האויצה וכיסוי כברוך לא אילו. ועדה שברוך הוא באויצה שאין ברוך הוא בסום מנה עין. He's bringing in a new point that he talks about in other places in a little bit of a different aspect. The concept of bracha, Chazal say, "Eina bracha matsuya al bedava hasomim min ayin." That bracha is found in something which you don't see. The svara and the seichel behind it is as follows. There are in the Bria itself, there are let's call it three levels of things coming into being. There's one level which we would call Yesh Miyesh. I take wood, I grind it down, I make sawdust. That's Yesh Miyesh. I take sawdust, I put some glue in it or something, press it together, and I have a board. I have a type of cheap lumber. I forget what it's called in Hebrew. It's called sivit. In English, it's called press something. I forget what it is. But that is something which is yesh miyesh. It inherently is a visible process. It's something which is part and parcel of this world. It belongs to this world. This world is a place where you take things and rearrange them an infinite amount of times. That is the pras yesh miyesh. The other extreme is yesh me'ayin, where you had nothing and something came into being. That is a process that happened once and once only. That's ma'aseh breishis. The events of ma'aseh breishis, it says on it, kvod elokim hasta davar. We have no shaykhis, the dama lefanecha is aser. It's something that is totally, totally not shaykh to us. And Rashi brings the Chazal that didn't even have to, Parshas Breishis shouldn't have been written. It's not, Yesh Me'ayin is not something we have shaykhis to at all. There's something in the middle, and that's called the realm of bracha. For instance, I put one seed in the ground, and I get a tree with many, many fruits. How did that one little seed become that tree with a lot of fruit? Somebody once said that if you want to perceive infinity, take one apple seed. One apple seed can grow a tree with, over its lifetime, gives enough apples that if you take out all the seeds and grow trees, you could forest who knows how much. And if those forests could certainly populate the world in terms of taking each seed and planting it. The seed is a tiny thing and it becomes a whole big tree. It's anything with every balchai. So it's not yesh me'ayin. There's never going to be yesh me'ayin, but it's something called bracha where something is nizbarech. It becomes more numerous. You go from the few to the many. And we find Lamashal by the Neis, by the Pahashemen. He said, I need something. I mean, what's the problem? I don't understand something. If a person can produce from one quart of oil 100 quarts of oil, so 99 quarts are just coming yesh mayin, aren't they? I mean, you know, so why can't I use, you know, like, why do I need to have some oil? So let a Kosh Baruch just send me 99 pints of oil, quarts of oil. The answer is the tzura of bracha is ribui. As such, being that it's a process that is not really part of the metzias klolis. The metzias klolis is yesh miyesh, and this is something else. So that process belongs in a somim and a ayin. It's not something that you can watch it and it happens. It's one of those things, Kapalya, like conception and birth, which is very, very extraordinary process where things just come into being. You know, out of one tipa, you get a whole person. It's a process that takes place unseen. The planting of a seed is underground, and the process is an unseen process. But even if we watch it, it's just something that we don't have a handle on, how something goes from being very little to a lot. So though that process of ribuy, of bracha, is all part and parcel of this process of it has to be sami min ha'ayin in order for it to be chal. The hat'eif v'nechaboy v'nenu means that it's, you know, when you're watching it, it will stay as it is. The minute you look aside, so just like there's a ribuy shaloka derech hateva, and I ask myself, how did this become so much? The flip side is also true. There is, it can disappear as quickly. The dynamics of how it happens and what and how it works, just like we don't know this, so this big tree can rot within a short period of time. A big stone slab can deteriorate, but it takes a very long time. It takes a very long time for it to deteriorate, and if you want to build a stone with the sediment of a river, it takes forever to do that. It takes tons and tons of centuries for it to build up. So, and wood, on the other hand, grows overnight and can disappear overnight because it's part of the same process. So mumin bracha is something which should be belongs to the world of sami min ha'ayin, because once the ayin is shaylit on it, once the person puts it under scrutiny, it leaves the world of that yesh ma'ayin and becomes yesh miyesh. So if I have X amount of money, that's what it should be. But let's just finish this, and then we'll talk a second. Well, the figure is that nichsachu ba'oitzach shemuchalei nidbolei. So, it you know, there's a time when he's ready for it, and time is not ready. V'chenam rabbi psachim, gimel matmonius hitmin yosef mitzrayim, echad nigla lekorach, v'echad nigla tininus, v'echad letzadik masalavei. Kloima, yosef shoy bal brocha, v'osav kol kesef zov shabolom, v'hu osa gimel matmonius, v'tzalei v'kel yosef nigla ha'oishe. Yosef is the one who had Ashirus, and there was a level of Gili. Why? She'ena ayin shaylik bay. She'bechosa la'ayin kachlo yo'esha. It says that Yosef at Tzadik, ayin her is not shaylik on him, which means in the bigger picture, he's at Sunua Be'etzim, and Einayim are not shaylik on him. Ve'oma achas nigel l'koyach v'asantaninus v'asadik v'asilovoy, ki b'zeh nema ma'arav tuvcha sh'atzamat v'echa. So the pshat in the chosim here is that by its nature it's supposed to be in the world that's hidden, and when it's no longer hidden, then it the bracha stops. And when a person looks away, it disappears as quickly as it came. The Yosef was an exception, because Yosef was somebody, there was no shulton of iron on him, so he, even when it was in a process of being mechusa, he had kesher to it. I want to add just one more hezbo, I guess. Let's take a parallel to the farming marshal. When a person works for 10 hours and he succeeds in building a table, and let's say the lumber costs at X plus 10 hours he worked. His friend worked 10 hours and succeeded in building in making a pair of shoes. With whatever it costs, the material plus that. When they exchange it, nothing new happened. There's no matzav of bracha here. There's no matzav of klola. There's no nigla. There's no nista. I mean, that's what I earned. If many people buy many shoes, I still have that, and that's that. When a person is matzliach in business, so really, there's no. In other words, a person is earning way out of proportion to what he put in. A successful businessman is not. I bought a piece of land for X amount of money. I put in Y amount to develop it. I put Z amount of materials and labor. I added up the column, you know, add 10-15% for my profit, and we're there. That's certainly not the case. Ashiras is when a person buys something that becomes very popular, goes up in value tremendously, is needed or wanted by somebody. That's something which is sort of mechatesa. Well, why? It's you know, the reward for your labor can net you a few $100,000. It can't net you millions and millions and millions of dollars. So the process of Ashiras, on the level that he's talking about, is akin to bracha. It's, I bought a lot for $500,000. Somebody moved the next door and wanted it terribly, or somebody decided to develop the whole area, and poof, all of a sudden it goes up in value 10 times what I bought it for, and so on. Those are not natural growths which take into account the materials, the labor, the risk, etc., etc. What it is this b'china of bracha. Rakash Bracha makes yesh me'ayin, and it's a darga of something that needs to be hidden, needs to be quiet. V'amr ganke medrash peshes rabba shamanu es bamid barabba, not peshes rabba, bamid barabba sheniku zuzi shezozim izem tamazim. The second pshat is they're called zuzim because they move from one person to another person. V'dov zek mon shizbay lamayla ku yizbak shoyzu lohorim es echad shashor medesloi. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to give somebody wealth, and he says somebody that shows a medesloi, as mashpil as echad me'oshoi, noisla acha oisa oisha. So he takes from one person and gives to that person. Well, kach nikru zuzi shazozi min ha'odom, hazeh yeshegiu la'acha. So they call zuzi because a Kadosh Baruch Hu uses it as a means to do X or Y or Z, and it depends what he wants to do at that moment. So in the first pshat, he explained that something about the status of the money, that there's a bracha needs to be some in the ayin. Here he says, these are the tools of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to maneuver people to certain positions.
Va'oidin yeshlishi, yipnei sha'oishu. Yes. Why is it like a closed system? Why can't he noise in as ever noise in as ever, or take from this one and take from that?
The truth is, there are two aspects to possessions. One aspect is needs, and on that, Kadosh Baruch Hu could give everyone what he needs. And you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu is zanas kol ha'olam, mibetzei re'eimim, and so on and so forth. And poverty is seen in that sense as a chisorin in the person, whatever it is, einesh, hestepan, whatever you want to call it. That's one darga. So economically, that could happen, that every person has what he needs, every coven so on. What we can't have is everybody to be wealthy, because the definition of wealthy is where one person has a greater concentration of wealth than others. Chachma can have an objective evaluation. So anybody with an IQ of whatever it is a chacham. It's actually, IQ wouldn't work so well, but anyone who can solve the X amount of problems is a chacham. If everybody can do that, it doesn't mean it's not a chacham, it just means it's no big deal to be a chacham. But I have an objective way of evaluating it. Is $1 million a lot of money or not? It depends. It depends on your environment. If you were billionaires, $1 million is laughable. If people who don't have very much, $1 million is very nice. So the understanding Ashiras in anything but being relative to something wouldn't work. It's all. By the way, it's one of the fallacies of the people in the current economic, economic climate, in the current political climate in Israel. There's the following fallacy. Take a look at the poor Haredim. They don't have jobs and have money. That's because they don't have good education. If they would all go to college, they all would have wonderful jobs. They do very, very well, and so on and so forth. That's kind of an idea that's definitely out there. If you think about it, a society, let's take the whole society of Israel, is a pyramid. It's a pyramid in the sense that the scale of salaries is least at where most people are at. A society requires many, many, many more manual laborers than manual professionals. People to schlep stuff, people to bathe people in hospitals, people to stand behind a counter. Whatever you would call the simple job, the difficult job, and the least paid jobs need to be filled. And you can only have X amount of top professionals who, there's just so many CEOs a country can employ. There's so many doctors. There's so many lawyers. The norm is to have a much broader based bottom, and that's, it'll always work like that. It's a very large base on the bottom, and it gets progressively narrower as it gets to the top. That's economics. If everybody in Israel would have a college degree, a college degree wouldn't be worth much, because again, the jobs available are, there are 1,000 jobs available to sweep the streets, stand behind counters, wash elderly people, can't take out their bodily needs, etc., etc., etc. There are 1,000 jobs like that. There are by far less jobs to run a nursing home, and still far less jobs to lawyers. How many lawyers do you need? It's an inverted pyramid. What would happen simply is more people with a college degree would be out of work, because it's not that objectively someone who has a higher degree in many instances is generating more revenue or whatever. The only nafkamina is in America, where the rubum of Americans are almost all of them not very talented, not very studious, not very oriented on education. So you have one Jew who, so there are enough factories go around that there's a factory per yid. So fine. So it is feasible for every single one to be a doctor, because just there are not that many doctors, let's assume, it's up for grabs. But so in America, or if somebody owns a factory and he has 100 people laboring in it, turning out just trinkets, whatever it is, then he can hire one manager, one foreman. But it's inverted. Ashiras is something which is it's the measure of what percentage of the pie you have, and the pie is finite. And the question is which piece you have. I see in America, we our boys in school go to college, and at the end of the day, there's not, the same scramble for jobs. Except, we're fortunate that of the population, we're a small percentage, and therefore we have enough place to sit everybody, to place everyone. I remember once, very funny, but many, many, many years ago in Eretz Yisrael, this is, sort of 20 years ago, not more, probably more than 25 years ago, there was a sort of mini scandal, one of many, many scandals, where the head of the bank discount investment department had, in a press conference, insinuated that that he likes a certain stack, that he thinks that stack is a very good stack. People bought into it. A few months later, the stack took a nosedive, and it was actually found that this person, the head of the bank, had gotten rid of the stock in that company after he had spoken to them, after he had spoken to radio. And I guess these people were simply picking up the stocks he was dumping. In America, he probably would have gotten arrested. In Israel, there was no criminal, but people were very critical. So I was listening to a radio interview, and someone was very angry, and he says, "I don't get these selfish people. If he knows that this stock is taking a dive, why didn't get up and tell everybody? Guys, everybody get rid of those stocks, it's taking a dive, and everybody would have come out ahead." I was astounded at the fact that prisoners begin to get it. There's no such thing as everybody being ahead in the stock market. For every person ahead, there's somebody behind. An exact same amount. That's how it works. He doesn't hop that if everybody would get rid of the stock, then the stock would go, would become nothing and nobody would have gotten rid of it. But upon him, the Metzius is that money comes. So when you're talking about, it's a very finite pool of it, and it's going to either A or to B or to C or to D. Vama gam came b'medrash b'shes rava shemarnu shenikru zuzi shezaza mizev v'nitanem lazeh. V'davzeh mishlal v'al k'hu yisvarach kasheroitze laharim es erat ashar medesloi. In other words, wealth is something that is relative. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to endow somebody with wealth. In order to be a wealthy person, then he needs to take from someone else in order to give to him. Because again, wealth is going to be an absolute value about something or somebody. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mashed for one of them, and he gives him, he gives the other person Aisha. So they're called Zuzi because they move. They move from one person to the other person because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to move it to the other person. So Betzim, and that's true, in every business transaction, if somebody becomes wealthy through a business transaction, so somebody had to lose an equal amount. If I became a millionaire from something I sold, somebody has to be out $1 million. That's the chrech. So the mele, that's why they're in flux. The oid in yeshlishim neisha oisha hudav gashmi. The chol dav shu gashmi tansas adas hashim. So properties that a person possesses that are less than gashmi, whether it's seichel, whether it's faculty, whatever it is, it's something which is. It's something which exists as a Dava Gashmi, and anything that's a Dava Gashmi must it has to be limited. Being something Gashmi, so Tchunas HaNefesh, like wise, is sort of not Gashmi to us, or so therefore it can last. Anything that's Gashmi is very, very clearly circumscribed by a period of time, place, whatever it is. So he says, "Vazmanu bal shinui." I'm sorry. "V'chein amru b'sh pelchachom medrash azeh shenikra mo'os kloma mahadova nechsha shule eis mavin azmiri." It's something which is limited in time as well. "V'chein amru galgosh chol zvolum kloma ha'oshu dava gashin tach zazman v'kol dash hashar zazman." Vazmanu bal shinui shetol de galgosh uchayze. So the word "you shouldn't be nimne," like he says over before, means don't be so chashiv. For something that's counted, it's like the halacha that anything that is a davar manui has chashivus in itself. It's not bottle if it's something that's b'minyan, because it has its chashivas. K'mosh amru es eshet darka limna sheninu v'dova bilta chashiv einu nimna. So the klal is always when I count, let's try to give a little bit of a halachic sense for this. If a person is when we find an object or an entity that needs to be counted, so that means each one is a unit. Each one has a mitzias b'fnei atzmo. So if, let's say, I sell fancy fruits by the piece, this means that each piece is an entity, instead of a chashev. Things that are cheap, I sell by the weight. In other words, each, the sunflower seed, is not has no chashivas to it. The chashivas is a measure of it. So b'meila, the davar shebeminyan would mean that something has a chashivas to it. Eshadar kolimnos, yeah. V'nikra oishem mamen kloyma mata moine. Ma chashivusa shel oishem shu nimne kilo hoy la chashivas shel ma. V'lo hoy roi li esnimnes kimahu. So in other words, giving a certain sense to money, that it's a davar chashuv, is something which money should be a means. It doesn't have any inherent value. By giving it, so mamoin is as if mamoine. Why would you be machshiv this? Why would you give it its mitzias? By the way, there's a chassidus shavart, very nice chassidus shavart, very typical, that the purpose of counting Kal Yisrael in the midbar is because by counting them, they became a davar shebeminyan, and a davar shebeminyan is never bottled. In other words, it's something which is a davar shebeminyan gives it its own mitzias. So when do I say that a percentage is bottle? When it's a percentage of something, it has to be, it's 1% of the entire amount. But if I have a bag of fruit where I pay per fruit, the fruit is not part of anything. The fruit stands by itself. So an ani's yachas to money is necessities, and each piece is important. So the reason why a person should not feel that there's a mila when he has money is because all the milas are when a person is koine. The emas ha'oisha rak ba'itso shemoitza mamin v'zenire ke'in kinyan mila ba'isha. So when a person acquires hashiras, there's no chashivas to it. As opposed to Chachma or to Aisha, like I said, there's no real chashivas to it. Over here, by Hashiras, when a person spends the money, that's when he's wealthy. I mean, if I have all the money in the world, but it's locked up in a bank and I can't spend it, I'm not a wealthy person. The wealthy Shabbat lies in the fact that I can spend it. So therefore, he says it's not as it's a reason why not to think of it as a milo. Hine gimel shemus hashesh the moment dain nechosim zuzi moras meirin ke'en lo oishas adam kiyum etzad kiyum upon. So now he's going to explain. So there's a three aspects of why a person doesn't have why there's no kiyum as oisha. Ha'echad shein oisha dav atzmi lo adam kor shamaylos. One is it's not intrinsic to the person. Alo nivdal min adam. Second, gam ke oishu brocha boilum, asha kol brocha u oimilis nichsim in a ayin. ולכך הוא נתמן עד שאינה נמצא בנגל האחר. שמו יתום יצא אחד לנקר זה שהוא מומן. So money by its nature is a hidden entity, and b'meila it's not visibly any one person. That's how it lasts when it's not visibly shaykh to anything or anyone, but it's mitzis of ne'atzma. Ulefikoch nichse mizat shenikra she'enei dover shebegoli v'nigal achet. Yigashorim oimed le'ashor she'elo'isha izuzim mizeh oboyim la'achet k'ma she'izboyah. Val inyan zeh nikra zuzim she'ozim mizeh oboyim la'achet she'elo yoyseh. So the transfer of money that goes to the person that it's worried to, that's the next one. And finally, v'od yeshat zlishi ka'oisha dover gashme she'kol gashme utach sa'eis v'azman k'ma she'izboyah v'ayiz nikra mos. Like loshim ma'es, v'ashem adal b'loima she'avka she'oishu benimtza v'adayin etzloi ma'och hashivus atzmoi l'kach nikra momen she'kal she'in ma'at ha'moina t'leima ma'o avtru etzloi. So the first three pshatim were saying how ephemeral money is. The final pshat is that he's that even when it's by him, he should understand there should not be inherent hashivus. ויש בוודאי סיבס הרבה שאין לו איש הקיים, אבל אלה דברים יקרו דברים, וכך רמז בשם שנקרו בו שם או איש עליה. So that's why they use the words that describe השירוס as to dash them. וכך רמז, וכך שטוב מה שאמר לי כאישו זולו סודם, וזה נדבר שהמיילס, אז תוכל לדעס ולהוב מה שאמר כוסו, אויב כסף לייס בכסף. So he tried to understand what's the pshat oyev kesel lispa kesef. Why would that be so? So he doesn't quite elaborate, but in line with what he said, it makes a lot of sense. If something that could become part of me, for instance, I eat something, so the food becomes part of me. When the food becomes part of me, there's just so much that I can actually hold on to. You know, it's not endless. I can hold on to only a certain amount. But if the thing is, so for instance, someone to ask me, how much food are you capable of eating? The answer is little more, still more, fine. But that's it. There's a boundary. If someone to ask how much money could he pile into my account, the answer is boundless. It's not something that, where was the gavul come from? So if you want to dump in my backyard gold bars, keep doing it. If something that's mitzarev to me, there's just X amount of knowledge I can learn that my cells could contain. There's just X amount of gavur, and so on. But anything that's outside of me, betzim is endless. Why would a wealthy man be stingy? That's the point you made. In words, had the Ashiras been something which becomes part of the person, so that tells me that it is an end to it, because we're limited kli kibul. But avol ein aish shemit boy ulukach in a sever mimen. That's why a person is never full. Ki dover shein aimit boy likabel siyem in a klal. Val shem zenika kesef ki tomer etzah hakosik. Where kesef means to yearn for something, to want something, because he's always wanting the money. Shunichsav val yishba mimenu. So the person never says, I have enough, because he doesn't feel the enough. There are two reasons why the person keeps pursuing wealth. kasef liknois mamin rav mitzad avas aisha. The person likes the wealth itself, the money itself. So wealth in itself has an allure, even if it does not translate it into any real belongings. The second one is things that he wants and feels give him what he needs. Okay, we'll hold it. Any questions? So next week I will not be able to do it. In 2 weeks we should be good. We should be good to go.
Okay, thanks, Rav Hansky. See you in 2 weeks' time.
Okay, good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos, Pandit.